Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. Thanks for joining me. Today, I'm talking to Laura Bull, who is a growth marketing mentor, and she helps business owners to make more money by doing less work. Now, she's worked in marketing for 6 years in big and small businesses, ones that you will recognize. I will mention them a bit later. And she's won awards for national marketing campaigns and has created courses and mentorship programs to share her growth knowledge with small business owners just like you. So, Laura, hello and welcome to this week's podcast. How are you?
I am very good, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Now, helping business owners make more money by doing less work, that's the sort of thing that will be of interest to most listeners, I'm sure. So tell us more. Tell us a little bit about your journey to where you are at the moment, Laura.
Yeah, so I am a growth marketer in my current day job, and I want to kind of share that knowledge with small business owners, I guess. So I've worked for and with businesses of all different sizes, and I'm taking the knowledge that I've learned from all of the really well-funded, like, high street names, I guess, you said earlier, Caro, to help smaller businesses grow.
That's amazing. So at the moment, you're working full time in a full time role, and your passion is and your vision is to move into full time self employment. Is that the plan?
Yeah, I think so. I'm kind of like, I haven't put any timings on it. I know that in the future, like, we're talking like 4 or 5 years, that's where I want to end up. I just want a bit more kind of like flexibility in my life, I guess. The roles that I tend to do are very, very intense. They're the roles that I'm best at, but I don't necessarily want to be doing them all day, every day. I want to have a bit of my own time,
I guess. So I think when you're in that role, you're sort of you're aware that you're building someone else's empire. So the end result, if you've got a plan to become self-employed, is that you could build your own marketing company or do your own marketing endeavors, being just your own boss, I guess. Is that the thought process for you?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like, for me, I'm really interested in, like, how businesses work. So, like, I'm almost using this time as an opportunity to really learn what makes a business great and what keeps customers coming back and makes a good customer experience. And that's really why I want to, like, pass that on to other people, because I just think that sometimes that knowledge isn't very accessible. And the kinds of businesses that I work for, it feels like the support that you get sometimes is a bit exclusive. Just because you're spending more money than someone else, you can get Facebook on the phone and get something fixed really easily.
Yeah, so you have leverage, don't you, once you're working with these high street brands? And I know you've worked previously for Zoopla. I think most people will have heard of that. And we were just saying before we started recording, you're working currently for Gusto, but we called it different things, didn't we? You said Gusto, is that right? And I said Gusto, and it sounded really, really awful the way I said it. But these are high street names, so you're getting a really amazing experience with all of these marketing tools that you're using and learning, and, you know, around all of these other people with expertise. So it's so exciting that you're then planning to share those. Well, you're already doing it, I know, with other people, and sharing your marketing
plans and things with people. So marketing has got a lot more complicated, hasn't it, over time. And I think, as you say, bigger businesses have access to deep pockets and large rounds of funding that they can try lots of things out. But when it translates for smaller business owners and self-employed solo business owners, what would you say is a way for them to sort of get started with their marketing?
I think really taking it back to basics. Like, there's a lot of noise about what you should and shouldn't be doing, and like it feels often like there's only one way to do things to get to a certain place, but that absolutely isn't the case at all. And I often say to people, like, if they don't enjoy an aspect of marketing, or if there's a certain piece of activity or tactic that they're supposed to be using for their industry or their business model, and they just don't enjoy it, don't do it. Like, the sweet spot with marketing comes from when you're balancing what your business needs and your customer needs. And ultimately, like, if you're not all in with that thing and excited about it and able to show up and do it consistently and kind of in the best way possible, then there's no point in you kind of putting your energy into that, I guess. Like, a lot of the stuff that I do in my kind of full-time roles is about like prioritizing and figuring out where my strengths are as a person or the strengths of the team around me and playing to that. And business owners can learn as much from that mindset as they can from like the commercial stuff and the actual doing of the marketing activity. And that's kind of like what I talk about a lot. It's both the marketing aspect and then the mindset that comes with being really focused in what you're doing and knowing that you're going to fail no matter what you do. So you have to kind of like try a thing, figure out when to call it a day or when it's working and how to make it work better.
I love that you've just given people permission to firstly not do things that they don't feel aligned with, and also permission to fail, because I think as small business owners, we kind of think everything that we do has to be a roaring success. And I think that's one of those things with marketing. You have to try so many different things and just accept that some of them are going to work and some of them aren't. And it's about failing fast and just moving on, and messy action as well is one of the things I think with marketing that's important, to try new things and, you know, use that creativity to explore different things that you might not have tried before and see which ones work for your business, which ones you enjoy, which ones, you know, resonate with your customers and generate more sales and business for you. Is that one of the things that you found in your role?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would also say, like, what worked yesterday might not work tomorrow. So like, keep trying new things, keep thinking outside of the box. And as long as you're putting your customer first and understanding their needs, which small business owners are great at that, they're literally like with them all day, every day, know their customers inside out. And that is the thing that bigger businesses don't have to their advantage, because there's so many layers of process or people between their customers. Like, you have the advantage of knowing exactly where your customer is going to be, what they need to hear from you. You know their problems and how you can solve them. And it's just figuring out the way that you're going to talk about that to them, where you're going to talk about that to them, and just saying it at the right time to get sales in for your business.
And you specialize in something called growth marketing. So for anyone that hasn't heard that term before, how is your phrase of growth marketing different to just general marketing, which people are more familiar with?
I think growth marketing is just more focused on, so marketing is really broad, and you could lump into marketing so many different things, including, like, I don't know, 17,000 ways to reach your customer. It could be like researching your product, your market, everything. Growth marketing really kind of brings together the needs of your customer and the needs of your business, because you can't consistently sell things that people don't want. So you need to make sure that your product is actually kind of suited to the problem that you're trying to solve. And then you can't keep selling that thing if you aren't making enough money to live. So you need to ensure that you're like pricing yourself right. You have a really kind of commercial mindset with what you're doing. Lots of people can do marketing and not measure the impact of it and not really understand kind of the return on investment within the marketing that they're doing. I often have people come to me to say, I want to earn this much money. Like it's not necessarily about selling to more people. It might be changing the price of your product or thinking about a different product to serve a slightly different need and selling more of that. There are so many different elements that you can kind of play with to get to a particular end goal. And growth marketing is figuring out which of those kind of like product elements, messaging elements, and like the business need that you're gonna use to get to that place. I think also like growth marketing is about testing. It's having permission to fail. Traditional marketing is more like shiny perfectionism and the presentation of like a certain story about your business, making an advert look super swish when it doesn't necessarily kind of like do anything for you or have any tangible benefit. But with growth marketing, it's about testing to see what works and what gets you to your goal, whether your goal is to reach more people or sell more things. And it's about keeping on trying those things over and over again and changing something small each time so you can get to closer to the perfect way of marketing to your customer. And again, that's like accepting that you will fail and figuring out from that failure, what did I learn? What am I going to do differently next time? And kind of like going as fast as you can to eliminate all of the different paths you could take so that the one that's left is the successful one, I guess.
So how closely is the growth marketing connected to the sales? Is that what you're using as your metric to sort of decide if the outcome is a sale? Is that how you're measuring the success of your growth marketing strategies and tactics that you're following?
Potentially, yes. I think it really depends on the business and what kind of a business owner wants to achieve with that. I think there's like two ways in which like bigger businesses look at marketing results. They either look at growth in terms of like the number of customers they are serving and trying to get to a bigger number of customers at all costs, or they look at profitability, so making sure that they are making the biggest profit possible off of the number of customers they have. And I think like depending on your business and what your appetite is, you can decide which one of those two things you want. Do you want to make more money off less people, or do you want to like help as many people as possible? And there's no right or wrong answer. I think like that is also only like the end goal for a business owner. Like there's so many different things along the way. Like you could use growth marketing to grow your audience. You could use growth marketing to grow a particular channel. Say you wanted to like develop, I don't know, an email list or something like that. Like it doesn't need to necessarily be tied to something sales related. But obviously, ultimately, at the end of the day, all of us just need to earn some money to live.
Yeah, I would imagine most people only do marketing in order to be able to generate extra revenue and for it to have a direct impact on the number of, you know, in their bank account at the end of every week or month. I think in the bigger companies, I can understand the strategy of wanting to, you know, increase their reach and get more email addresses so they can continue to market. And I think that that should be on the radar for small business owners to keep that in mind. But I think ultimately, most small micro business owners are marketing specifically for the purpose of revenue generation and to make sure that they've got increased sales and profitability and all of those things which come with their marketing efforts. Would that be reasonable in your experience with the people that you've been working for, or is it quite a mix?
I think it's actually quite a mix, because if you have existing marketing that can kind of make those sales for you and you know exactly what you need to do and when to make those sales, by using marketing to grow the number of people you're talking to, you can actually increase the number of sales that you're getting with the stuff that's already converting people.
So this would be for people that have already got systems in place where they have got a proven sales strategy and they've got a sort of perhaps a funnel set up where they're bringing people in and they've got their own conversion system already set up and in place. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can use marketing to fuel that fire, I guess, and continue to make more sales with whatever systems you've got set up and funnels you've got set up already. And I think, like, for anyone who's not there yet, it's just about trying to kind of, I guess, focus on a small area of that at a time. So making sure that you can get the sales in, then making sure that you can kind of get the people to talk to make those sales, and kind of bouncing between those things until you've got a system that works and can try and automate it or outsource it or whatever you need to do to keep your business running.
So would it be fair to say that growth marketing perhaps comes in once you've got that system in place? It's not actually one of your first lines of marketing. Would that be something that comes later down the line? People wouldn't necessarily start out with growth marketing then?
Yeah, I think so. And I think potentially the element of growth marketing that's most helpful if you're starting out and you haven't got the right kind of systems to convert people or make those sales, is actually about the mindset. And it's about approaching everything from a place of kind of, what's my focus, what's the most important thing that's going to make me sales today, and then what can I do to kind of like hit that goal and put myself out there and see what works, with the aim, almost the aim of failing. Because if you're trying new marketing tactics, you kind of have to assume that like 90% of the stuff that you do isn't going to work and that 10% will work. And it's just about the kind of like mindset and resilience of continuously showing up, even if it feels like you're not making progress on this day, in this hour, in the kind of bigger picture of things, like in a year's time, you actually will be moving forward if you're consistently showing up and kind of using a growth mindset. So not letting your failures like affect you and hold you back, I guess.
And how do you measure things? Because for me, measuring is a key thing. You can't manage what you don't measure. So with any marketing, if you're talking about 90% of things failing, what are you using to measure your success? And you know, because measuring marketing can sometimes seem a little bit like well, you don't know quite what the knock-on effect is. You might have done what you think is quite good marketing and it might not have actually translated into specific sales, but ultimately you've increased your brand awareness perhaps from some of the activities that you're doing, and that's difficult to measure. So to quantify some of the activities that you're doing in your marketing time, how can you measure things in your experience, Laura?
So I think measurement often seems like the biggest, scariest part of it. So people shy away from it. But it is really just about being, I guess, deliberate in what you are measuring and why you are measuring it. Especially for small business owners, if you're the only person looking at kind of the marketing that you're doing, don't feel the need to look at like 10 different numbers about whatever piece of activity that you've done. Focus on one number, moving that one number and making it the most important number to you. So I think like there are so many different ways to measure different pieces of activity. I couldn't say that like if you're, I don't know, posting on social media, you should be checking your sales, because it's not necessarily like as easy a correlation as I'm going to increase my posts on social media, therefore I will increase my sales. And there are so many different ways to look at things. But I think like pick two or three things that you can control with the piece of activity you are doing at the moment, the piece of marketing activity that you are doing. Measure those numbers regularly to decide how often you're going to look at them. Then when you are looking at them, make sure that you're doing it in the same way each time. Like you set the rules with it. So if you decide that you want to look in your email platform for a certain number, do it the same way each time over the same period. And then ultimately, like at the end of all that, you can see whether the number's going up or down. And like, that's the most basic way of checking whether your marketing activity is working. Are you reaching more people? Are you making more sales? Your goal will be probably one of those two things. And it's just figuring out the two or three numbers that are going to tell you if you're doing it.
So what would be ways that we could help people today to get started? Any hacks or tricks or anything to help with sort of entry level marketing for startup business owners? What would be your recommendations?
So I think I said this at the beginning, there's a lot of kind of focus on there is only one way to do this thing, to do social media. There is, like, in order to market yourself nowadays, it feels like you have to spend like 20 hours a week creating content or kind of putting yourself out there. And actually, like, if you really just focus on talking to your customers, people that you want to be your customers, focus on talking to them through wherever they're kind of hanging out, either in real life or on the internet, and talk to businesses that you would love to partner with, you will kind of start to see momentum with your business. Most of the early kind of like sales, I guess, will come from who you're interacting with and who you're being referred by. So as long as you know what's getting your customer to buy from you and you know where they're going to be looking to buy your products or services, and you can consistently show up there, you'll soon start to see what figure out, you'll soon start to figure out what works and what doesn't to get sales. And ultimately, like, there's no shortcuts, and any hacky way of doing things is not sustainable, or is just not a solid foundation to keep a business running in the long term. So prioritize the small messy actions and kind of the marketing failures over perfection, and just try and be where your customers are when they're searching for your product, I guess.
And do you think social media is still the easiest and the lowest cost, best route for all small business owners just to get going? Is social media any particular platform or any particular one that you would say, if you've just got to focus on one, get going?
I think the answer really depends on your business and like who your customer is. Ultimately, you want to pick a place where your customer is going to be and where you can find them to get in front of them. I think that actually, like you said it yourself, like picking one platform, social media is a good way to get in front of people, but you need to put time and effort into doing that. And it's not just putting a piece of content out there and hoping that your customers will find you. It's going to find them, interacting with them in that place. I think that it can be used in certain ways to like reach your audience really quickly, but it's about like you showing up there consistently and acknowledging that, like, if you have one viral post, that's not the foundation for like building a solid community. So yeah, I think social media can be a really good place to start, but it is something that you need to accept will be like a slow burn. And yeah, there's no easy answer when it comes to like, is there one platform where I should be? It's just, where is your audience? And then like, how many social media accounts can I truly sustain?
Yes, I think it can be overwhelming, but I think consistency and just that regularity is one of the things that people will then start to build a relationship with you on when they realize that you aren't just sort of sporadic, when you are going to be showing up on a regular basis. That doesn't have to be every day, but if you decide that your level of consistency is three times a week, and you know, 1 week you do once and then you don't put something for another 4 weeks or something like that, that's not really going to hit the mark for them feeling that they can trust you and really have some continuity for them to get to like you. So I think that consistency is really a key part of any marketing strategy. You've got to do something that is sustainable, and you've got to find your level of commitment and to what you can commit to for your own sort of mental health and marketing, and that will fit in with your business and not tip you over the edge into overwhelm. I think that's a really key part. So in your growth marketing toolkit that I know you work with people, what's in that, Laura?
So it's an 8-week mentorship program where I kind of share an approach to marketing that I've developed from the kind of bigger businesses that I've worked in. It helps business owners figure out what their kind of goal is with their marketing and then the best way to get to that. So I talk through a lot of marketing theory that's broken down into really kind of small bite-sized chunks, so that if you've never even kind of dived into marketing properly before, you can pick it up and understand it, and you can learn what makes a good marketing plan and how to measure the success of whatever it is that you decide to do to get to your goal. There's exercises throughout that help the business owners apply everything that they learn to their own business as they go, so that it kind of sticks and you get some kind of actionable like marketing tactics out of it. And then lastly, there's lots of stuff on growth mindset to make sure that you're not being held back by any worries you have about failing or any kind of beliefs you have around the kind of marketing you need to do or how your audience will react to your product. And I encourage a lot of failure within that as well. Because if you're not failing, you're just not trying hard enough, I think.
I love that. So you're in a safe space to be able to try things without feeling that everything's going to hit the mark and go straight off the bat. Thank you so much, Laura. Thanks for sharing all of that with us today. And if our listeners would like to find out more about you and to connect, where's the best place for them to find you?
So I am on Instagram at Laura Ball Marketing, and you can visit my website, lauraball.co.uk.
Lovely. And I know that you've got a free marketing funnel workbook on your website, and I'm going to put a link in for that for people to be able to link to that. So if they would like to get a freebie, then they can just go into the show notes afterwards and we'll share that with people. So lovely. Laura, thank you for joining me, and thank you everybody for listening today. I hope you've got a wonderful week ahead, earning lots of lovely money with the least amount of stress. And until next time, let's catch up soon.
Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.